Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. Hope somebody shook hands with you. Praise the Lord. We've got some praise reports today.
Praise God. Good to see everybody. Glad you're here today. Of course, everybody knows why we have the Christmas tree up. We're in our 17 years I've been raising money for the kids. It's amazing. Praise God. I wasn't saying it for that. But it's amazing because I was talking to Candace about this on the phone yesterday that some of those kids have been in the system all these whole 17 years. They're still there. You know, and they do help them transition. They help them get, they put them in transitional apartments there on the campus, and either they, you know, are going to school, going to college, or going to a trade school, or going to, like, Kiera became a dental assistant, different things, you know, and that's good because they help them through hard times. And I was also telling her, there's horrific stories about these kids at Christ Haven. There was one little girl that was 12, and she had to leave her home because of the abuse that was in the home, and she knew the best dumpsters to dive in the downtown Fort Worth. Now, how would you like to live? You're living on the street in downtown Fort Worth, and you're dumpster diving every day for your food. Is that gross or what? I mean, it's gross to me. It's horrible to think about that somebody has abused her so badly that she's had to, you know, leave the home to get away from the abuse. And then because she's 12, what are you going to do when you're 12? Work at Burger King? You know, I don't think so. They're not going to let you. So she's having to go to the dumpsters till finally either the police or someone saw her and then brought her to Christ Haven, you know, which is a blessing for her. And it's just, you know, the stories, they're just not beautiful stories. And so that's why and it's another thing, I don't know that y'all all realize this. When this whole thing happened, it happened because I wasn't married to Thurman at the time. I was going to this church. So I'd been healed of a 30-year incurable disease, and I started going to church. And so he talked about one Christmas, he talked about Christmas is for children. And he said, you should do things for children at Christmas. Like he and Betty used to go out and take a Buckner's orphan and take them out and buy them all their clothes for the year. Things like that. And so on the way home, I called Christy, my daughter, and said, hey, we've been talking about doing something else for Christmas, like serving in a soup line or doing something for the homeless. I don't know. We've just been talking about we needed to do something to help others because we had too much stuff. And I know we all have too much stuff, most of us. So when he said that and we talked about it, I said, why don't we maybe find some kids or something and throw a party for them and raise some money and all this. She said, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Of course, I had no idea what kids to do that for, but the very next day, I get a Christmas card from Christ Haven. And it's like, how did they know I lived in Colleyville and where my address was? Well, God knows. So I tell her about it. She says, yeah, I called them that day, and they say, oh, we'd love for you to do a Christmas wish list for the kids because they only get one gift from the fire department, and then, you know, people sometimes drop off things, so at Christmas they get to go in and pick out one gift. So they got two gifts. That's it. So, well, of course, now they get a wish list, and so they're really happy. Anyway, so far we've raised $46,712. Praise the Lord. And we've given Christmas to 1,056 children and 78 families. So God's got his hand in this, and I got almost $2,200. So I started buying for Grace. I'm through buying for Christ Haven, unless they get more kids, which they always do at the end. And then I started buying for Grace this past week and got a lot of stuff for them. In fact, both my cars were full, and Thurman had to empty one of my cars so we could had a place to drive, you know. Anyway, it was full to the brim. You couldn't see out. Scott's been going with me late at night, or not late, too late, but we shot for 2 hours, and it took them 2 hours to ring us up. So that's a lot of stuff, don't you think? They love us. But I didn't even realize I got triple points rewards at Kohl's, as well as I got the almost $2,200 in Kohl's cash, which is good on Monday. So I had just contacted, I have to contact different people to say, hey, can you help? What are you, how are you going to help us this year? And Dallas Children's Charity is where I get the free toys. And so I contacted him. He said, nope, you don't have to fill out a form. You're in my list. I said, okay, great. And so that gives the free toys to Justin Community Clothes Closet. Well, I text her and say, okay, you know, what do you need? And she says, I was just thinking about you today. And so she told me she needed 18 months to 5T. So Monday night, Scott and I are going just buy a whole bunch, you know. And then I told her she was going to get her toys and everything. So she was happy about that. And then after that, I get on the first, I have right now 55,000 something points. That's a lot. I'm getting $2,500 in Kohl's cash. That's what I say. Praise the Lord. Just keep giving it to me. Yeah. Because the other night when we were in there doing, I had Kohl's cash, and I thought I had 3,000. That's what I thought I had. And before it was over, it was like God kept multiplying it, and I spent $4,100 on grace. It was like, wow, God, you're just so awesome. And just... He really is. So anyway, he's really been blessing everybody. And so when I do Justin Community Clothes Closet right now, then when I get that other money, the $2,500, then I'll start buying for Salvation Army in Denton. So, you know, you've got to spread it out. So if you can give anything, we appreciate it. And just, you know, fill out your check or offering. Just say Children of Christmas on it. Okay, we had so many praise reports, I had to leave some of them. Here, why don't you kind of hold them? Okay, the first one is, I was a family that kept this letters. This is late in coming, but we definitely want to express our thanks to you for your ministry to us when we were in dire need. We came to your Sunday afternoon service with esophageal pain and related issues, and you applied God's healing touch. I won't say it's fully healed. We're still trusting him for that, but it is clearly better, the pain. For that, we praise God and thank you for being his conduit. And I think they came from, praise the Lord, I think they came from Florida or somewhere. Okay, they come from everywhere. Okay, God gave me a miracle for my back that was out of whack. That'd be good, back out of whack, yeah. Through Barron's counsel and prayer, I had an immediate answer, and I couldn't be more grateful. Praise the Lord. Love, Peter. Go, Barron. Go, Barron. Okay, this girl's in Canada. She wrote, Lord, I ask for healing for my husband who has a sore back, including muscles, healing for my left arm and shoulder blade, and I ask forgiveness for both of us. What sins are involved? We write her back. Except I'm doing the typing. Left arm and shoulder blade pain would be unforgiveness against a woman and or yourself. Backache at the waist is worrying about money. We've agreed with your prayer. It's done. She writes back, thank you kindly in Jesus' name. My shoulder was healed immediately and through the night. My husband still felt sore, but the pain was gone. He's healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's Canada. Okay, this one she wrote, God bless you both with immeasurable blessings. My prayer request is for my mom. She's going to the doctor for a procedure done on her esophagus. I assume they dilated her esophagus. That's what I'm assuming. Because I know some people have to have that done, you know, if the area is too small. So we've prayed over this issue many times. We're seeking your prayers over this too. So we pray. She writes back, there were any problems at all before, during, or after the procedure, praise the Lord. My mother was quite concerned. Our prayers for a new esophagus from the Lord. I'm still standing on that. It can happen. He's done amazing things for me and astounding things for you both and others. Like you said, we can't say when the Lord will do it, but I guarantee it. So to the natural mind, it's hard to grasp, but to the mind that knows who the Lord is, it's not impossible. And thank you for praying with me, and have a wonderful day. So praise the Lord, her mother did well. Okay, this is more about what occurs when she listens to us. It occurred to me today to thank you for showing me that God is just like he says he is in the Bible. This past week, I caught a pastor that I like listening to as a small addition to you, embellishing a Bible story. I guess to betray the Lord is not as severe, so direct, blunt. I've realized that hearing that very kind of thing over and over and over again has caused confusion for me relative to walking in love. I've gotten things twisted to think that walking in love towards people means that I tell them what they want to hear or don't tell them what they don't want to hear. That kind of thing has even passed through my internal filter of, is that selfish? It passes because I don't care what people think of me, but I somehow got indoctrinated with the mindset that to do the contrary would to not be loving them. Now I really study the Word, and I think about the things Jesus said, what the Bible says he said, and how he said it, which is how I caught the change from what the Bible says and what the pastors told. You don't ever do that sort of thing, embellishing like that, because you and the rest of us hearing you all read it right out of the Bible together. Thank you. I have something more to add to that with a little bit of personal testimony that speaks to how important it is to me that you tell of and demonstrate how God really is over and above simply because it's the truth. I came from a very ungodly yet church-going family. The Lord touched my heart as a very small child, and I believing God, believing basic small child concepts like right, wrong, consequences. They were instilled in my heart for me to embrace God and come out of all I was in the midst of with faith and love for God intact. I needed to cling to a big God that knew everything, a God that had clear, defined, unchanging rights and wrongs, excuse me, and a God that enforced consequences, period. Even if that meant consequences for me. Having that basic, simple knowledge of God helped me understand how profound the gift of Jesus is, and I don't need Jesus to be a pushover in order to love him. I don't want him to be that nice that he just overlooks things. I needed an authority in my life that would both protect me, punish sin, correct, discipline me if I got off the right path. Nothing else in my world as a child made sense. I needed a consistent, powerful, and even severe God. Sounds like us as parents. As an adult, church has taught me that God wasn't really like that, even though the Lord constantly had me reading about him in the Old Testament, and there was a mismatch in what I read and what I heard, until the Lord led me to hear your teachings. Listening to you was like a wonderful clear water, clean, pure air. Finally, what I was hearing, what I was reading matched. In addition, I heard you telling me that indeed what the Bible said was true, and then I would hear testimony after testimony testifying that yes, God's word is true. God is just like it says in the Bible. I wonder how many other people are like me and they would be so happy, settled, and peaceful if they found out that God is powerful and that he means what he says, the good and the bad. I think it's a deception to think that people want a nice, never disblends, etc. character assigned to God. How's that really working for people that believe that, I wonder? My opinion is that that's why there's such a big problem with unforgiveness, because people are believing a God that does nothing about sin, who pretty much overlooks everything. If I thought that way, I might have unforgiveness too. As if to say, well, someone needs to do something about this gross injustice of that person wronging me. I guess I'll have to be shunned. I'll have to be me shunning them. That will be their punishment. Silly, huh? When you have a right view of God, you don't need to feel unforgiveness ever. It's as silly as what I just said. As for the adults in my young world, I never had unforgiveness toward them. The God I knew was and is a severe God, and all of it was in his hands. I was glad and thankful to survive, and that's it. I came out with a big heart of gratitude toward God. I'm grateful for everything. It's so much fun, so many things to be grateful for. By the way, you teach that too, and I love it. Grateful for my car, grateful for the gas in it, grateful to be born in an age where there is cars, because I like cars. Grateful my hands work, I can see, I can run, my food tastes good, all my appliances work, it goes on and on. I wish more people knew the God you speak of. It might make things much easier for them.
Amen. Praise God.
Okay, so we had, thank you, Lord, we had two deliverances this week, were they over the phone? They were started on the internet. The last one was over the phone. I mean, it went from the internet to the phone. Yeah. Okay, this young man, this person had a heaviness. He had it for 30 years. He had a heaviness in his head. And every time in the afternoon between a certain hour, between 11 and 3:30, now this would be very hard for you, he would get this time period, he would experience a little or a lot of confusion, difficulty thinking, speaking straight, heavy head, a desire to seek the Lord, and yet a great desire to rest and nap. And so this came on him all the time. He's now 41. So he would have to have a job that he could work and be able to go take off during that afternoon time because he couldn't function. Isn't that weird? So he's asking, is this a demon? What do y'all think? Okay. And of course, there was a lot of stuff in there that wasn't good. Alcoholism and, things that came into his life. But he'd been sober and clean for 4 years, drugs, alcohol. Okay. So he was good. He was good at that point. All right. Yeah. Well, anyway. So he writes. He first goes into the thing about, is it a demon? And he asked about it. And he also wanted to talk to him. Okay. So it was, yes, a pesky demon. He told him it was a demon. And so finally, after he prayed with him, I think we prayed first to the internet. So he said it was a pesky demon. I think the first it started with the internet. He said it was gone until it tried to return and make some movements toward my head yesterday in the late afternoon. So he printed out many of God's promises. He's been quoting them with favorite Bible verses, Proverbs. I noticed it disappeared, then it made some pressure on the side of my head. I stayed up much of the night sitting with the Lord, thanking him and standing on his promises. He had difficulty sleeping. Periods it would leave, periods it would be returned. Anyway, he felt quite a bit more on the side of his head, but he said, yeah, I know he has no legal rights, so he was always saying the right thing. So Thurman, I got the phone number, and Thurman called him. And he said, I praise God for your prayers and help. Jesus is so good. I had a second day with a real afternoon with no struggle. Being a normal person, this has been going on 30 years, being a normal person with joy and gratitude and the ability to live normally. Some fear comes up, standing on the promises and crying out to him, but maybe this is normal since I've lived so much of my life with this. I love you, Jesus. I keep thanking God. Thurman told him, keep up the good work. Praise the Lord. He says, thank you, thank you, and praise you, Heavenly Father, for your glory almighty. Yes, yes, you are so good. So he got delivered. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. This last one, in the, you know, they're lengthy because when it starts, they write us and tell us all this other stuff. This particular woman, she could not speak about her childhood. She had no memories of her childhood, none whatsoever. And if she spoke, there was, it's like she'd start stuttering and something would take over. The demon would manifest is what I'm trying to tell you. Okay. She did realize that there were some Masonic things in her life. There were some bad things that happened to her, but she couldn't speak them. Even though she knew they were there, she could not speak them. Okay. And so she asked that we remit her sins, just like you delivered the woman in New Mexico that had the 23, how many did she have? 2,823 demons?
2,823 demons.
Yeah, that was quite a day. Anyway, that was quite a day. Speaking right there and being seen, this woman literally get thrown as far as barren. She's sitting right here beside me, and all of a sudden, it was like somebody just picked her up and threw her, and she was thrown through the air. And of course, then we go over there and we run over there, and I'm holding her feet because she's trying to kick him and do all this stuff to him, and he's holding her down. And finally, she goes, "I'm delivered. I'm delivered. I'm delivered." And that was when that paramedic came over and said, "Sir, do you need some help?" He said, "I'm a paramedic." And he said, "You know how to cast out demons?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, then you can't help me." And so then we go back, and as we're walking back, and Thurman's watching her, you know, and he turns for just a second to glance at where his chair was, and about that time, she goes through the air all the way up as high as the bench there, and both feet in the air, and clips him on the side. I mean, I see all this. I mean, you can't do that. She wasn't Karate Woman, you know. I mean, it was crazy. And, you know, it's like, again, somebody throws her through the air, and her feet are coming at Thurman, and, you know, and he glances and gets missed by getting really hit, you know. I was like, wow. And then now she's on the floor on the other side of the room, and we're over, and he's this time, again, I'm holding down her legs, and he's got both his knees on her shoulder, and he's got her head, and he's banging her head on the floor, just like on carpet like this, you know. And she speaks to him in a man's voice and says, "You're going to kill her." I mean, just like that. He says, as he's banging her head, he says, "You're going to kill her." He said, "Well, fine, if I kill her, then she gets to go to heaven. You don't get to go." You know, and because nothing defiled gets in heaven. A demon can't go to heaven. So finally, you know, I don't know what happened at that point, but finally we get her back up. But what a deal. And then, of course, I know what happened. While we're down on the floor, that's when the manager came in and said, "Can y'all get her out of here?" He said, you're scaring my people. You're freaking the people. We're in a restaurant. We're in the restaurant about this big. And he says, "You're just freaking everybody out." I said, "Okay." I said, "It's okay. We take her up the room." He said, "Yeah." And about that time, and she is going, you know, she's manifesting. She is in a man's voice. She is going, you know, just like that. I mean, you know, you see somebody like that, like you're going to think, wow, she's a little freaky. And so we take her and we're going up toward our room. And about that time, David and Yeshua come in. She had John, and I think she's pregnant with Evelyn at the point. And they come walking in, and Dave comes and helps, and they start going up the stairs. And they told the Yeshua to stay down, you know, because we're dealing with the spirit thing. And we go up there and put her on our bed. she's on my pillow, and all this junk is coming out of her mouth because she's, you know, she's manifesting, and she, and as he would command the spirit to leave, I assume y'all want to hear all this. Anyway, as he's commanding the spirit to leave, this gunk is, you know, foaming, you know, it's just coming out of her mouth, and I got a towel, and I'm wiping it up, and Dave's holding her feet down because she's trying to hurt Thurman. She's trying to kick him, you know, and he's on top of her. He literally is on top of her and casting the demons out. And there were two demons left. And at one point he'd asked how many demons there were, and they said there are 2,823 of us. And so that's a legion, more than a legion. And so, and his name was Leif, L-E-I-F, his name. The strong man was Leif. And at one point, I'm sitting there, her phone rings, and she picks it up, and she goes, "I hate you," and hangs it back up. And she said, "That's my husband." It's like, oh, okay. So in a minute, it rang again, and somehow I end up with the phone, and I walk out of the room. Into the corridor, and I said, "Well, you know, we're dealing with her, and there's somebody named Leif." He said, "Oh yeah, we've met Leif before." I said, "Okay." So I said, "Well, we're dealing with it." So that was the end of talking to him. And so all this is going on, and Thurman's looking down at the clock, and he realizes at 7 o'clock we've been dealing how many hours? 7 hours we were with her, and he's saying, "Lord, I've got to teach you this such and such time. How much longer is this going to go on?" And
I said, "When's this going to be over?"
Okay. You said, "When's this going to be over?" Yeah, because all this was in his mind. I didn't hear him say this. And what did he say to you?
He said, "When you believe it's over, that's when it's going to be over."
It all had to do with...
It's up to me. He's already done it. He said, "I paid the total price and give you all this power and authority. And when you believe it..." That's what Dave's been trying to tell you all afternoon. When you believe, that's when it's done. So I grabbed her by the hair of the head. And
you said, you said one more time.
Yeah, I said, "This time I'm going to believe, and there ain't going to be no doubt of no kind in the name of Jesus." I said, "You're coming out of her, both of you. There's only two left." We were down to two out of 2,823 demons.
Yeah.
I said, "You're coming out of this woman, you're going to the abyss, and you're never going to come back, and it's done, I guarantee it."
Mm-hmm.
When I said, "I guarantee it," I'm sitting on top of this woman, and Cheryl's sitting right here, and Dave's down here holding her feet down, and I've got her holding down like this. I jump off the side, the end of the bed, and I look back at her, and I said, "Now, woman, you're delivered, I guarantee it, get up in the name of Jesus." And whenever I said that, "I guarantee it in Jesus' name," she looked around and she looks up at Cheryl and says, "Who are you?"
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she looked down to Dave's feet. Dave was holding her feet. She said, "What are you doing down there?" He said, "Well, I'm holding your feet." She said, "What for?" He said, "Well, you were trying to hurt Pastor, so I was trying to hold you down." I said, "Woman, you're delivered. Guarantee it." And, of course, she did get up. And now, of course, that took us nearly 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
A battle to get that woman free. But that we were in the learning process. Well, a few weeks later, we went to Norway. We came back from New Mexico. We went to Norway. And when we got there, they had a class they wanted me to teach. Okay. So I come up there, and whenever we started teaching the class, talking about it, there was a man and a woman that came up there, and they said, "We have a problem. We'd like for you, whenever you get through with the class, we'd like for you to go through deliverance with my wife." I said, "Okay, so what's wrong?" He said, "Well, she was in her ex-husband. He was a member of an occultist." So I said, "She picked up a demon from her husband." And so I said, "Well, we're just going to kick this devil out of her, no problem." Now, we've just been through this 7.5-hour deal just a few weeks ago out in New Mexico. So whenever I reached up and put my hands on this woman's shoulders, both of them looked her right in the eye and says, "Come out of her in the name of Jesus." So she went nuts.
I mean,
she just went crazy.
She hit the dirt.
Yeah, and so she really went crazy, and everything's slamming around there, and she's throwing everything, and she falls down on the floor and starts screaming, and I just jumped down on the floor and I said, "Cheryl, honey, get down here with me." I said, "We ain't going to spend 7.5 hours with this one." The Lord says, "When I believe it's done, it's done." So I said, "This one's going to be quick and easy." And I said, "This woman is delivered Right now, I guarantee it in Jesus' name. When I did that, I jumped up and grabbed Cheryl and grabbed that woman and stood her up, and when I did, she was completely delivered that quick. Then there was about a 70 or 75 year old woman they had brought that she was in a wheelchair for 7 years or something like that.
Yeah, she was like 80.
She was sitting there watching all this happen, and her eyes are bugged out. Yeah. She's saying, "Wow, what is going on?" And I said, "Well, we just kicked this demon out of this woman, and I'm fixed to kick this one out of you." So I reached up and grabbed her, by the hand. I said, "Come out of her, you devil of hell." This is about a 70-year-old woman. And I jerked her up and stood her up. I said, "Now you can walk without that wheelchair. Get going in Jesus' name." And man, she run all over that place. If we only believe.
Yeah, that man drove 10 hours to bring his wife there because he knew that if Thurman prayed for her, she would get healed. And she really was much older than that. She was almost 80, 78, 80. And he didn't really pull her out. She actually stood up and took off. She just went whoosh and just took off. I'd never seen that either. It was amazing. We have too many stories, honey.
No, we don't have too many stories.
Okay, we don't have enough stories. That's it.
I love these stories. I like to listen to them myself.
Yeah.
The only difference between you and me is Cheryl and I got to live it.
Yeah.
So we can come back and tell you. So it's lots of fun to see God show up and do these wonderful things. There ain't nothing like it, is there?
No.
What else? We got something else?
Yeah, I was in the middle of my story and somehow the Lord took me off that way. So
oh, okay.
You know how it is. Got to go where he wants you to go.
Praise
okay, so
him.
Anyway, this woman that I'm talking about, during a 10-year period of counseling, she would stutter and never fully speak. You know, she had she couldn't, her voice would change speaking about her childhood. So, you know, she had a demon and she just couldn't talk. So we prayed and told her that she was delivered, and she thanked the Lord and she was so happy. She said she wrote a praise report. She said, "I can tell my history fluently to my cat. I have never, ever been able to do that and to say certain words. I could not even make them come out of my mouth. I can just tell it now like a normal person. And when I say the words, I cry. I have emotion. A handful of people know of my history, and one is my neighbor, a strong woman of God, and she's heard the change of voice, in other words, the demon that would speak out of her, and has seen me not be able to speak words. She said, I'm going to show her what God has done. Jesus is so kind. God is so loving. I'm so thank you, and thank you for I'm delivered." And then she wrote back, "I'm smiling so big. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, who makes this possible. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for you both. Thank you, Lord."
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go over the principles that we use to see these awesome testimonies. I mean, they work every time when you walk in faith. Every time. In fact, Tony, you told me a testimony that would fit right into this perfect about a lymphoma you had on your head. Would you come up here and tell the people how that was and what happened? Now, I want you to listen to this. We were talking about sometimes how hard it is to do this for yourself. And Tony told me a story. Would you share that with us, Tony?
Sure. A couple months ago, my son noticed I had a growth or lymphoma starting on my temple, and then I noticed on my foot I had similar growth, and they were concerned about that, and they said, "I need to go to the doctor. I need to get that taken care of, get it lasered off, get whatever I needed to do."
Well, that just means they love you, Tony.
They do.
They do.
They do. But they thought it could become cancerous, so they were concerned. I just said to them, "Okay, I'll think about it," and I prayed about it and kept praying about it and believed that the Lord would take care of it for me. And within 2 weeks, this one fell off of my temple and the other one fell off of my leg, and not a scar.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. He was asking me the question, why is it so much harder to stand in faith for yourself? Because just like he said, his children love him. But what was the first thing they wanted Dad to do? To do what? To the doctor. Tony happens to know that, of course, You're just like us and just like him. When your children tell you, well, Dad or Mom or whatever, or you got this growth on your head, you better go to the doctor. They fail to realize that we have the best doctor in the world, and the very minute that you say, I'm going to go to the doctor, and you head that direction, you've just pushed Jesus out of the equation. He's a faith God. I mean, he is a faith God. And if you don't do things in faith, that's just like when I learned, when I use these principles, we're going to go over. And I guarantee them they'll work. I mean, just like when here he's standing here with eczema all over his body, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I mean, he's got these sores all over. I mean, if you've never seen Dave's testimony about sickness is satanic oppression, you need to get that CD and you need to listen to it and pay attention to what it says and see the pictures of what Dave looked like, because then you would understand when I told him, I said, son, if you'll do what I tell you from God's word, I guarantee Jesus will heal you. And of course, his immediate response to that was, like most people, you know, you can't guarantee God will do anything. People don't realize that if God made a promise, will he do it?
Yes.
He will if you stand in faith. He will do it for you. But you got to stay in faith. Now, if you step out of faith, he steps out of the equation. So if he steps out of the equation, what's going to happen? If God ain't there, what's going to happen?
Nothing.
So when I learn that I have to believe, I mean, Scripture, James 1, 6 and 7, clearly says, when I pray, in fact, let me get Cheryl to read that. I can quote that, but I want her to read James 1, 6 and 7. When you pray, this is what you must do.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
Now stop and think about that. Meditate on that a minute. If that literally means what it says, does God's word all mean what it says? So if God's word says, when you pray, you must pray in faith with only a little bit of wavering.
No,
wait a minute. Surely he wouldn't be that hard on me. He would? You act like you've been there before. He will do it, won't he? There's no telling how many times I read that. First time it didn't make it. I read it the first two or three or four times and it didn't do nothing for me. You know, when you pray believing, you know, with no doubt in your heart, or if you don't believe, nothing will happen. That didn't register. That just didn't register. So I read it again. And then a little later, I'd come back and I'd turn over there. But when you pray, you must believe with no doubt in your heart. Now, I've got a pretty hard heart here. And he's pounding pretty hard on my heart. Son, pay attention. When you pray for that thing on your head, you got to believe, Tony, it's going to come off.
That's right.
Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
So when I look at that, I think, I got to believe. Baron, surely he wouldn't be that hard on us. He means exactly what he says every time, doesn't he? When you pray, you must believe with no doubt in your heart. No doubt in your heart. Because if you doubt, in other words, that tree that Dave's talking about, you get back in the wrong tree. You want to be able to, when I looked at that and I read that over and over and over, that means that if somebody asked me to pray for them, and I pray a prayer, Father, if it be your will. I mean, I didn't believe at all. I mean, that means that prayer is not going to work. Anytime I pray and say, Lord, if it be your will for healing. Now, there is things you can pray for, Lord, if it be your will. You can have some things, but when it comes down to healing, he paid the price on the cross for your healing, so you can't use that. Now, Lord, if it be your will go heal me. No, you got to pray and believe. So I think, okay, Lord, if I pray and I believe it's going to happen, then that means I've got to pray and believe that with no doubt in my heart, when I pray for Dave or whoever, anybody, all of us, when we pray for one another, we got to believe that it's done. I mean, it's done. I mean, you got to know that it's done. You got to be in that right tree, not in that wrong tree. If you're in the wrong tree, you ain't going to get nothing from God. So anyway, we look at that, and I think, okay, I've got to believe. What if I don't believe? What if I got just a little bit of unbelief in my heart? Is my prayer going to work?
No.
Doggone it. Surely he wouldn't be that hard on me. But I went through 30 or 40 years of my life in a church, and obviously it did work because I never saw a prayer answered, never saw a miracle or healing. Just like a young man I ministered to this last week from up north. He said, I go to a church that's 10,000 strong. He said, I've never seen a healing, never seen a miracle, never seen a direct answer to prayer in my church.
Wow.
10,000 people.
Wow.
He goes to church every Sunday. But he said, I come down here to your little church to a healing school. He said, there's maybe 180 or 100 people here that day. He said, I talked to a bunch of them. And he said, almost everybody that was at the healing school had gotten some kind of a miracle from God. He said that miracles and healings was all over the place. So he said, what is the problem? So he said, he mentioned a man's name, a pastor. I said, I know him. He used to come over to Lakeland Baptist Church and preach once in a while. I know him. And I said, he probably don't remember me, but he asked him if he remembered me. And he said, yes, he did remember me. But he said, well, I went down and Thurman Scribner had a healing school and said, I'm getting well with my stroke. He said, what does he preach? He said, I'm interested in healing myself with the Lord, but what does Thurman believe that makes him able to get people healed? He said, it seems like the biggest thing he's learned is that we have power over the enemy, and when we remit our sins, we can cast out the demons, and people can get healed. And so Thurman has decided that from what he studied in God's Word that sin and sickness are both directly related. So if you got a sickness, you got a sin in your life that you need to repent of and get it kicked out. And the pastor says, I don't believe that. Now you want to know why you don't see no healings? In other words, how often should we see a prayer answered?
Every time.
How often did God say he would answer? Did God say in his word that when you pray, believe, and all of my promises or just some of my promises? All of my promises are yes and amen. So he said, it's amazing. He said, now I was listening to one of your tapes this last week, and I think he said it was his mother, I think, a female anyway. I was talking about if you're a woman and you get into unforgiveness against another woman, it'll bring breast cancer on you every time. And whether it was his sister or mother or whoever it was, I think it was his mother, said, when you made that statement, he said, I knew that was the truth. Because I think he said it was his mother, that 18 years ago, she got into a gross unforgiveness with a family female. And he said it was no time until that breast cancer came upon her. He said, if I'd only known what the Bible teaches about that. If I'd only known, or I could have went to mom or sis or whoever it was and told them the truth. But you know, when you tell people, that's just like I remember when we talk about demons. Demons is what causes the problem. I mean, they're not actually what causes the problem. They're the ones that fulfills the problem. So what happens is God uses Satan and his host of demons to attack us whenever we sin. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Whenever you sin, first of all, my question years ago was, where in the world did Satan and his host of demons come from? Well, they're fallen angels. Well, I've read the whole Bible several times, and I can't agree with that. I believe with all my heart that Satan was made by God, made him just like he is, and he made him for his glory and for his benefit. God made Satan and the host of demons. I mean, that's written. All, what do you, just like a while ago when Dave was talking about all, what does all mean? Does it mean all?
Yep.
So then, if God made all these evil spirits, then how many of them first of all, I don't believe that they were, the devil fell from grace. I don't believe he was ever a beautiful angel. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I believe that Satan was made just like he is, because the scripture says in Colossians that God, Jesus Christ, made all things. Everything that was made was made. He made it, and he made it perfect, made it just like he wanted it for his glory, for his benefit. He made everything, both dominions and powers and principalities and rulers of darkness, and everything that exists was made by him and for him and for his glory. So what is it did he make?
Everything.
Everything. Did he leave out anything?
No.
No, if he made it all, he made it all. He made it for his glory and for his benefit and his purpose. God made Satan just like he is, for an adversary, so that he could train you and me how to be overcomers. And the reason that beast is so good is because God wants a good set of believers. He wants a good set of overcomers. He don't want you to be a man Baron or kidding each other all the time. He don't want a bunch of wimps, does he, Baron? God don't want a bunch of wimps, you know. Yeah. Well, like when I walked in, shook his hand, he said, "Hello, my little brother wimp." Well, compared to him, I am a little wimp. But my big brother. He can handle anybody or anything. But we got the same big brother. So praise the Lord. But if Jesus made everything, you don't have to worry about nothing. But anyway, when I see how this works, then I have to believe with no doubt in my heart. And whenever I pray, if I say at the end, now then I'm hoping that God will hear my prayer. That's not the way to end your prayer. You want to know that God's going to answer your prayer, and you have no idea, just yourself. You remember hearing several times as Cheryl reads these praise reports that the last thing I said, now it is done, I guarantee it. Do you hear people quote that back? They do. And you know what they love when you pray a prayer and you say, now this is going to set you free, Jesus is going to change you, and I guarantee it's going to work. You have no idea how many people call me back in a day or a week or whatever, a month, and say, that phrase you made, it's guaranteed it's going to work. That's what put me over. I believe when you said you guaranteed it, just like Philip. When I took Philip and prayed for him with hundreds of warts all over his body, hundreds of them. The first thing happens whenever you look at somebody and you see them and they got hundreds of warts. The doctors have burned these things off of them. They got scars all over their body. And somebody says, do you believe you can pray and make every wart and every scar come off of that boy? You know what happens? Tony, when a miracle like that needs to be done, what is it that's sitting on your shoulder? They're screaming at you, this ain't going to work. Have you ever heard him? Yeah, you see? We all hear that little beast. I mean, any time that you go to do something, just like Tony was telling me a while ago, he says, whenever I thought about that cancer growth on his face, and his children wanted him to go to a doctor, he said, there's a little something on my shoulder telling me, you go to the doctor because this ain't going to work. He's not immune to this little beast either. But that little beast is trying to make you teach you how to be an overcomer. We don't even know it. But you have to fight that fight, don't you, Tony?
It's hard.
And after you fight it with a few of them, then you get to where you can handle it. Over and over and over. And the more you read the Word and the more you read the promises of God, the easier it is to overcome, isn't it? But, you know, you have to stay in there. But, yeah.
That Sunday, I went to Nationals for another meet, and Pastor's so right. Char was lifting, and it's over 1,000 people at this meet. and it was over a four-day event. And the guy before Char goes up, and he breaks his right leg.
Oh, no.
Right before I get ready to lift, and right before Char lifts. And me and Char just look at each other. The guy before he lifts breaks his leg. And I look and I said, I went back to the back and I said, ain't no fear in here because we got Christ. And when I said that, it was three other believers that said, amen, brother. Devil, what you just tried to do, it ain't going to work.
That's right.
It's not going to work. Char went out, got his lift. I went out and got my lifts, and we just thanked the Lord. Boy, I'm telling you. Thank you, Father.
Amen. You know how easy it would have been for them to all to step into fear?
Yeah.
I mean, you notice the exact time, the timing of the way, just before you were getting ready to lift. Is that something? And then I'm sure, I haven't heard Barron say this, but I'm almost positive that whenever he looked at that and saw that other boy break a leg, he heard in his spirit, or heard in his, that that could be you, then you're next. Yeah, your leg's already been broken once. He broke his, what, two or three years ago? Or was it last year? Last year he broke his leg. Yeah. I don't know. Some of y'all may not know, but just recently he went to the finals in America and won the finals in America, and then he went to the world heavyweight and he won the world heavyweight lifting. So now one of the doctors in our church told him personally that with the broken leg that he had whenever he picked up that 700 and something pounds and it broke his leg right there.
Broke his kneecap, honey.
Yeah, however it was, somewhere in here, in the right or left leg, I don't know which leg it was.
His right kneecap.
Right kneecap. See, it broke it. I mean, he picked up so much weight, it exploded. The doctor, after he started standing on the word, the doctor that goes to this church, which is a good doctor and a good surgeon, he told Barron that the chances are very good that most people that break that knee like that never can be a heavyweight champion again in their life because their leg will never repair itself strong enough to fix it. But his leg not only fixed itself by Jesus, he went to from 700 and something to 800 and something pounds of total weight that he picked up, and he didn't break anything and nothing. I mean, it's amazing, these battles. But he was tested everywhere, every way. But that's the way the tests come. But you know, it doesn't make a difference what it is. If you go to pray for somebody, just like Tony, if you go to pray for yourself and you've got a growth on your head, that devil is doing everything he can to deceive you where that you will not have the faith to get healed. And if you doubt that when you pray, that scripture is so clear that when you pray, you must believe with...
No doubt.
He did say no doubt, didn't he? Not a little bit?
No.
No doubt. Now then, when you pray, just like I prayed for Philip. Whenever I prayed that day, whenever I began to teach these principles in my Baptist church there over here in Justin, and whenever I began to teach them in that classroom, Philip's mother and daddy contacted me and says, we've been in a Bible study for 20 years, but we've never seen these principles taught that they mean what they say. Now, that's not only good on the good part, but that means also on the bad part. In other words, if God tells you to go out and do certain things or he'll discipline you, he means that too. So anyway, whenever they told me, I said, so what does that mean? She said, well, if these promises really work, and you say they do, now we've been in Bible study for 20 years, we've never seen a healing or a miracle. But if you say they work and you've seen some of these, we'd like you to come to our house and we need a miracle. I wonder how many people out there need a miracle.
A lot.
In fact, I'd be willing to say every one of us need one or two or three. So anyway, whenever I went down there and I went down, sat down on the couch there, and Phil's mother and dad was there and his little sister, I said, "What's wrong?" They said, "Well, Philip's got a problem. We need to get corrected." I said, "What is it?" And they called him, and he came and sat down right beside me. When he sat down there, I looked at him. I said, "Wow." I said, "Boy, do you have the warts on your body." I mean, he had warts everywhere. He said, "Yeah, we went to the doctor, was going to have some of them burned off, and the doctor told me to count them and give me a pen to mark them." And he said, "I started marking the ones on my left arm." He said, "When I got to my shoulder, I already had 187 warts on one arm." He had them in his eyelids, in his eyebrows. He had them all over his hands and arms, his body, his legs. When you close his eyes, you can see a whole row of warts across his eyelids. I mean, you know, he looked bad. And so I said, "Okay, no problem." I said, "The Word of God works. It's true every time. So we pray the prayer of faith. We'll remit all your sins. We'll go over sin, find out what kind of sin you might have. We got his mother and dad both to confess all their sin." His little sister, she was only, I don't know how old she was, but she was probably 5 or 6. So I didn't worry about her. I really didn't think she had anything in this equation anyway. So anyway, we did everything we knew to do, and then I said, "Philip, I want you to know that for these to come off, you have to have faith. You know, I could just come down here and pray over you and walk off and nothing happened. But I said, if I stay here with you and your mom and dad and I build your faith with these promises, when we get enough faith," I said, "then when you reach a point where you believe," I said, "I already believe, but we got to get you to where you believe," I said, "then we can see the glory of God." So anyway, I started going through the promises. I mean, I'd read a promise. And I said, "Now, Philip, what do you think about that promise? Do you believe that promise?" He said, "Well, sir, it's in the Bible." I said, "Yes, it's in the Bible. So if it's in the Bible, and do you reckon that God's big enough to make it come to pass?" Well, he said, "Of course he is." I said, "Well, if that's true, how long you had these warts?" He said, 11 years. No, 8 years. He was 11 years old is what it was. I said, "So if you believe it, then why do you have these things?" He said, I don't know." I said, "You should be able to get them off." "Oh," he said, "you mean you're telling me that I should be able to get them off?" I said, "When you pray, they should come off. Is the promises of God just for you and me, or is it for everybody? I mean, it's supposed to work for all of us, is that right? The promises of God are yes and amen for all of us." So anyway, we went over those promises. And I said, "Now I want you to read that promise." I said, take Matthew 18:19. "Read Matthew 18:19, Philip." So he read from Matthew 18:19. What does Matthew 18:19 say?
"Again."
What?
"Again."
"Again, I say unto you that if two or more agree about what?"
"Anything."
"Anything." Now wait, it couldn't mean that. Could it really mean that? In other words, all we got to do is believe. Is that what he said? And it's a guarantee from God. Can't be. It's impossible. I mean, if Philip would read those promises, he says, "Mr. Scrivener, how did you learn all these promises?" I said, "I read the Bible over and over and over." He said, "They couldn't mean what they say. Because if they did, that means that these warts would go away when we ask." I said, "But what if he did mean it? What if he did mean it, Philip? What if he really did mean that?" When he said, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it's done." What if he really did mean that? He said, "You know, if this really means what it says, if it really means what it says, we ought to be able to pray and these things go away." And I said, "If you'll believe, if you'll only believe, I guarantee they'll go away because it's written in this book." What's the first thing you do? When you're going to pray for somebody for something, the first thing you do is remit their sin and remit your sin. Ask the Lord to wash you and them in the blood. I mean, clean yourselves up. I mean, get rid of sin. You know, it didn't do no good to come up here and ask me to pray for you if you got all kinds of sin in your life, if you're doing drugs and you don't want to be, you're here because a friend brought you. You're not interested in getting set free. You know, you just done something to help out a buddy or something. Now, if you want to get set free, you got to spend some time with God. Yeah, if you want to be set free, just like little Philip, that 11-year-old boy. Whenever I begin to go over these promises and over them and over them and over them and quote them, and I said, "Now, Philip, read those out loud." And he read them, quote them. And I said, "Now, do you believe them?" Well, finally, after I'd had him read it over and over and over, faith comes by
hearing.
That's exactly right. And hearing and hearing. And so I said, "Okay, Philip, now then that we've gone over this over and over and over, I said, now then, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. We have remitted your sin. We've remitted your mom and dad's sin. We've remitted my sin. We've asked the Lord to wash us in the blood, cleanse us up and purify us, and make us clean and pure and holy." I said, "Now then, after we've done that, we need to take those spirits that are causing the problem, those evil spirits that God uses to do all this. We have been given all power and all authority over those evil spirits. Have we?
Yes.
Yes, we have been. Luke 10:19-20, just in case you don't know where that's at. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not that these evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Do you believe that?"
Yes.
So I said, "We have been given all power and authority, so now we command those spirits to leave." I mean, we command and demand that we have remitted the sins. If God forgive our sin, or is the problem taken care of?
Yes.
Yes, it's a done deal. Now we drive out that beast, kick him in the backside, run him right out the front door. And so anyway, you got to act like you're the authority here and not the devil. And so then after we done all that, I said, "Now then, Philip, we need a promise. So which one are we going to use?" I said, "We need something to stand on to base our faith on." He said, "Well, that Matthew 18:19 sure is a wonderful promise." I said, "It really is, isn't it?" He said, "Well, let's use that." So we used that verse and we stood on it. And I said, "Now, Father," I said, "now I want us just to get on our knees. We want, in an act of praise and worship, we're going to be on our knees in front of you, Lord." So I got the mom and dad, the little sister and Philip and me on the floor on our knees. Is that a good place to be before God?
Yep.
I got down on my knees and I told Philip, I said, "Now then, son, I'm going to ask the Father in Jesus' name, according to Matthew 18:19, to take all these warts and scars off of your body. And I thank you, Lord, for doing it in Jesus' name." And I stood up, and when I did, his mother said, "When do they come off?" I said, "That's the only thing God don't tell me, is when." I said, "He told me they would. I don't know when. But if you stay in faith, nothing wavering, I guarantee in a few days to a few weeks at best, Philip will not have one single wart on his body in Jesus' name." Now, then, am I stepping out on a limb? Boy, am I out there, and that limb's shaking. It's out there on the end, and I'm shaking. I guarantee it. Y'all see? Y'all know where I'm coming from? Hey, would you like to have been in this situation? You just told a young boy that had warts for 8 years that you prayed, and because you prayed, they're going to come off.
Yes.
And so I told him, his mother and dad, after she said that, I said, "I'm going to tell you something else. As soon as I walk out that door, there's going to be a little critter. He's going to come up and sit on your shoulder." He says, "Now you don't really think that just because that old gray-headed man came over here and prayed a prayer that those warts that Phillips had for 8 years is going to go away, don't?" I said, "And when that happens, you tell him, you get the word of God out here and you say, 'Devil, right here in Matthew 18:19, it is written. Stand on it. Don't matter what it happened, but stand on that promise. believe with no doubt in your heart. And I said, if you'll do that, ma'am, I guarantee you that in a few days to a few weeks at best, Philip will not have a wart or a scar on his body. 2 weeks later, when I was at church, his mother come in, and that's the first time I ever seen a Baptist woman dance in church. But I got to see that woman dance in church. I mean, she was a tall woman. She was about 6'1". She's a real tall woman. But boy, could she dance. I mean, she was jumping around there, throwing her hands up in the air. She said, well, Thurman, come over here and look at Philip. Look, there's every wart on his body is gone. There's not a wart nowhere on Philip's body. She said, the only thing left is those big old scars on the back of his right hand. I said, ma'am, don't get into unbelief with me now. Stay in faith with me. I said, now then, if you'll do that, then I'm going to use another verse, Mark 11:23. And I'm going to take Mark 11:23 and I'm going to add it to the prayer that I just prayed for Philip 2 weeks ago that he took the warts all off. And I'm going to guarantee you that in a week, next Sunday, when you all come to church, by next Sunday, Philip will not have a wart on his body anywhere. A scar. He will not have a scar. The warts are already gone in 2 weeks, first 2 weeks. They're gone. So I said, there won't be no scars either. So Mark, what does Mark 11:23 say?
Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith.
Wow, is that an awesome promise?
Yes. Yes.
Now then, all you got to do is believe it. I mean, he gave you the promise. All you got to do is believe it. So I told her, I said, guarantee, you know, by next Sunday, Philip will not have a scar nowhere on his body. Well, next Sunday when she walked into class again, she's dancing again. He said, Thurman, look at this. There's not a scar or a wart nowhere on Philip's body. He's completely healed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Okay, so I learned a tremendous lesson about faith right there. God means what he says. You know, he's not a wishy-washy God. You've got to believe it. What does it take for you to stand there and believe these promises, that they're there, that they're yours, they belong to you and me, and we can do what he said? But you know what happens? Lots of people, they will stand on a promise for maybe a week or two. But they don't see the manifestation of their healing or their answer to their prayer. They give up. They give up. Just like this young man that Barron talked to him, the one, what city was he from up north? Barron, do you remember? Do you remember where he was from?
He was from the Baltimore.
Up north somewhere, right? I can't remember where it was. But he was amazed whenever he came here and listened to what he did. And then he took a whole bunch of CDs and DVDs and he's listening to them. He said, these people are real. And said, you're getting all kinds of results when you pray. Here I am in a church who's got 10,000 people in it. 10,000. Do what, sir?
Stroke,
oh, yeah, the young man had the stroke. You know who I'm talking about. 10,000 strong, and they've got, I don't know how many pastors is there, but I know one of them. But I know that if you're in a church that's got 10,000 people in it, and you've never seen an answer to a prayer, you've never seen a healing, you've never seen a miracle, the Word of God is not being preached in that church. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
If the Word of God is being preached, I guarantee you, I could go down this line right here and take each row, one row at a time, and ask you, do you know of a given, do you have a problem that you'd like to get rid of? And if they say yes, I say, then do you have any idea what sin you might have committed that caused this problem? because this is exactly what happened when Cheryl came to the first healing school. When she came up, I didn't even know her, but when she came up for prayer, she said, I have a problem, and I realize now that it's sin that caused my problem, so I want to repent of my sin. And she said, I've had this disease, like she said a while ago, 30 years, incurable. No doctor can cure this disease. And she had also had a hysterectomy when she was about 30 or something like that. And she has taken these pills for 24 years or something like this. And I told her, young lady, if you'll just repent of your sin, God will forgive you. Will he forgive you?
Yes.
Are we grateful we serve a God that forgives our sin? When we ask him, he forgives our sin. Every time, not sometimes, every time. All the time. And so after we did that, and I told her, I said, now that you've repented of your sin, I said, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you. And I said, I'm going to guarantee you, my God, according to this scripture, is going to heal you. And I prayed for Cheryl, and she was instantly healed of that 30-year disease. Now then, but if we go down the line here and talk to people, my lands, virtually everybody I'm looking at over here has received one or a dozen miracles or healings for something, right?
Do what? I said, that's why your Thurmanites are here. They're sitting here because they received a healing.
That's right.
You go where you're fed.
Okay. So if you want to see God answer your prayer, just like you heard all them testimonies today, Cheryl and I got those answers laying in bed praying, or sometimes we're in front of her computer. But some of them were in the bed. We're trying to go to bed, but before we go to sleep, we're going to try to answer every prayer that comes in every week without letting it go more than 1 or 2 days. And one of the things that I so appreciate about so many people, they say, your response is just out overwhelming. That you don't even know me. You don't have no idea who I am. I send an email telling you about my problem, and within hours, some of them would say, and within hours you answer. So this is just unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this. But if they've got a problem, just like this young man or young woman that had the problem for 30 years, did y'all hear that? 30 years. Was that a woman or a man?
That one was a man.
That one was a man. If you've had a problem for 30 years, Tony, if that was you, would you be ready to get rid of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be too. I don't want that thing there. So when I see this, as far as I'm concerned, we don't go to bed at night until we've prayed over everybody. And then when I get these praise reports back, you prayed for me and you said you guaranteed it. And as soon as I read that, my pain went away. Do you love that?
Yeah.
I love that. I love to see God answer my prayer. So if I'm taking his word and I'm remitting somebody's sin, and of course if you're new at this, that's a big one. You tell somebody, you find out, if you can, find out what their name is. If you can't, then you just have to say, okay, God, we do this all the time too, and we get answers. Lord, I don't know who this person is. They didn't put their name on it. They was all excited about getting healed, but they didn't even sign it. They're telling me the problem. So, Lord, I don't know who this person is, but I know you know who the problem is. Person is. So I'm asking you to forgive them. And Lord, I remit their sins. Now, Lord, I command those spirits of curse to leave them and go to the abyss and never come back. Now I'm asking you to send the Holy Spirit to heal that person's body, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Now, Lord, thank you for doing it for this person in Jesus' name. And they get healed. So how easy should it be? But, you know, so you're going to do that. You're going to start to pray. And this little critter, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? This little critter saying, you old fool, you don't think he's going to answer your prayer.
That's right.
But you have to remember who I am. Is that right, Brad?
That's right.
I'm a son of God.
That's right.
And when I pray, my King, he forgives me for everything because I've asked him.
That's right.
So I'm clean and pure. I'm just as clean and pure as Jesus. Isn't it amazing how you can have an instantaneous prayer? Just, Lord, I know this girl's fixing to sing in a little while, so in Jesus' name, she's got a problem, so I ask you to heal her. And what happened?
We sang immediately.
Isn't that amazing how simple?
Before I even walked from the back to the front.
Wasn't that something? It was so easy. Pray the prayer of faith. Touch him, Jesus. And Jesus, and I, Lord, I put my fingertips on him. He's healed, right?
I receive it.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. Why, if it's this simple? And it is this simple, is it not? Many of you in this room have received these mighty awesome testimonies, these healings yourself. I mean, it's so easy to walk with God and do what he says and just believe his word. Is that true? Yeah, it's not hard. It's not difficult. Walk in obedience to his word. I mean, the enemy will do everything he can to keep you out of that love walk. For this to all work, I want Cheryl to read John 13:34. I think that's where I want to go. John 13:34. Read a little bit there and see.
A new commandment. A new commandment I give to you.
What did it say? A what?
A new commandment.
A new commandment. Uh-oh.
I give unto you.
He's fixing to putting a whammy on us. A new commandment.
That ye love one another.
Oh, my gosh. You mean this girl here? I got to love her? Lord of mercy. What kind of... Lord, I can't love these old girls and boys around here. They're too hard to get along with. You know, he must have known, right? Why do you think he said, I command you? Do you reckon he knows how we're made? Do you reckon he knows that we're human beings and it's a whole lot easier to get into a knockdown drag out than it is to love each other?
That's for sure.
Isn't that something?
Yep, he knew
that. A new commandment I give you. That you do what, honey?
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you.
Oh, Lord, that's even made it harder. As he has loved us. Now, it's okay for us to let God love us, but we don't have to respond. I don't have to pray for nobody. If I was to pray for somebody, I might have to straighten my act up and might have to forgive somebody. I don't want to do that. Lord, you don't have any idea what she did to me. I ain't going to forgive her, never. Have you ever heard anybody say things like that?
Yes.
Wow. I command you to do what?
Love.
If we love one another, guess what happens? We get to see awesome miracles, right?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we should have some people every Sunday that come in here and have testimonies.
Amen.
About what God has done for you this week.
Amen.
I mean, I love it. I love it when y'all have those testimonies. Don't you, Scott?
Amen.
I mean, this guy, they come in on Thursday or Friday, depending on what they're doing. And the first thing Scott does is sit down and swing out there with me and say, let me tell you what just happened. He's just full of testimonies. I just prayed for a guy, and he got healed right there at the hurry. He had pain in his back all these years, and I just prayed, and wow. Just full of testimonies. And I wait a few minutes and Kim comes around the corner. Wow, Pastor, you ought to hear what just happened over at the store. We was talking to a guy about Jesus and he had a pain in his back and we laid hands on him and he got healed right there in the store.
Amen.
What is wrong? Why is everybody not seeing these kinds of things? Isn't that something? You know, because you're just like me. You lived in unbelief lots of years.
I did
too, Debbie. I guarantee. How many of us lived in unbelief? Wow, we all lived in unbelief. In fact, some of us are still living in unbelief. But I'm taking my name off the roll. Yeah, I'm taking my name off the roll. I don't want no more of those.
No
more. I want my name to be on that right book. The book of life, no doubt about walking in faith. Whenever we speak something in Jesus' name, we want to see great and mighty things happen. Do we not?
Amen.
Wow. So praise the Lord. Okay, now, before we go, very first thing we need to do, one more time, if we're going to see a miracle, we run into somebody that has a need, what's the first thing we need to do?
Remit their sin.
Remit our sins. And then ask the Lord to wash us in the blood. Wash them in the blood. Now then, we got them clean and white as snow. Now then, the next thing we do is kick that spirit out, right? When, if you've remitted their sins and your sins and everything, does the devil have any legal right now?
No,
he has no legal right. So many times I've prayed for somebody and I say, come out, and they say, I have legal right to be here. I used to, just like that one out in Silver City. Whenever she said, we have legal right to be here, and I said, you're lying. He said, no, he really did have legal right. And so when I found out what it is, I said, that's no problem. I'll just call her back up and I'll have her remit that sin. He said, we're so interwoven in her brain. You'll never be able to do that. I said, well, then in that case, I'll just call, if I can't call her up, I'll just remit her sins myself according to
John 20:23.
And she's come across that counter me and she said, almost nobody knows that verse. And those that have read it don't believe it. I said, but I know it and I believe it. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I remit all of her sins. Now I command those sins to be forgiven, washed in the blood. I said, now then, come out of her in the name of Jesus, you devil of hell. And I mean them devils started coming out of her. For the next 7.5 hours, they came out of her. And Cheryl, she could tell you, she told you part of that story a while ago. And I was so grateful that Dave was there and Cheryl was there and I was there and we all got to see that. Dave said it took him a while for that to soak in on him, that if I said it, it's done. You don't have no doubt. Isn't that something? And after you get that devil kicked out of him, then you ask the Father in Jesus' name to send the precious Holy Spirit to do a complete healing on their body from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And he will do it. You got to remember, he's on your side. He wants you to do these things. He wants you to pray the prayer of faith. He's training you and me how to be an overcomer. Isn't that something? I'm healed. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you. I'm healed. Are you healed?
Yes.
In Jesus' name, Lord, I remit my sins and the sins of everybody in here. And Lord, I thank you for giving me power over those spirits. So I command those spirits of curse to come out of me and to leave me and go to the abyss and never come back. Now, Father, I thank you for healing me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, taking this shaking out of my hands and make my eyes back 20/10 where I can see where everything will work perfect. And I praise you and thank you and worship you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I forgot one step. The step that's the most important. Thank him. Yes. Thank the Lord for doing it for you, because if you don't thank him, sometimes he does not answer. So when you thank him and praise him, then he always answers. Thank you. Come back to see us next Sunday. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all are dismissed.